Play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Well, no Roy G until 10:15. Roy is at the beach celebrating 4th of July weekend a little longer than most of us get to. But the beach is the beach. And Roy's going to call in at 10:15. We're going to talk a little World Cup. We're going to talk a little LeBron James. We're going to talk a little bit about where all these guys in the NBA are going to end up. Like, I really give a damn. I mean, I do give a damn, but I really don't care. During World Cup, which I've become a big fan of, by the way, I watched the sudden death kick? What were they doing?
Penalty kicks.
They were doing penalty kicks, which, you know, that seems so strange because that would be like in the Stanley Cup playoffs having, you know, doing what they do during the regular season where they line up their goal scorers until somebody has an advantage. I disagree with that. I'd like to see them run around there for days until they just fall over and unconscious.
Until it's two guys leaning against each other.
Well, until the goalies, until the goalkeepers literally leave the net all the time.
They do.
Well, but they need to. And that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I saw him come up for a corner. We used to come up. Our goalie was one of the he was an All-American. Honorable mention, the guy that I played with in high school. Of course, he's 63 years old now, and hopefully Bob Munson's still around. And Bob Munson was a phenomenal goalkeeper. I bet he was like 6 feet, 140 pounds. He could throw his body all the way across the goal mouth. He could easily get over the top of the goal, you know, and tip balls. And
but did he have Tourette's?
No, he didn't have Tourette's.
Oh.
I don't think he had Tourette's. Why does that have anything to do with
you
anything?
You haven't heard the big story is Tim Howard. He's
got Tourette's syndrome.
The reason he's so good is he's always tense because of his Tourette's syndrome.
Well, Tim Howard.
So if you
part of that might have something to do with his DNA, not just the Tourette's, but the fact that he is one hell of an athlete too.
Yeah. So if you have a kid that has Tourette's, fear not. He can be a all-star, you know, world class goalie.
Well, hey, all of them when they're 3 or 4 years old are playing soccer anyway. They throw the ball out there, and 22 kids run to the ball, and then they all run to the ball again, and then they all run to the ball. It's not till they get to travel, you know, eight and unders where they start actually playing a position and figuring out how they really are supposed to work because they're paying some damn instructor, you know, $20,000 a year to come out once a week for an hour or two and teach them how to play soccer. And that's really how Americans learn how to play soccer. They learn from people from other lands. There's really very few phenomenal, American soccer players that work as anything, you know, they're not the instructors. The instructors are Colombian. The instructors are from Mexico. I mean, they are in Herndon, Virginia, I'll tell you that.
I think that's changed a lot because it's changed
in the last 10 years.
Yes, it has. Because we have the homegrown talent scouts coming through MLS. And you just have the players are starting camps just like in football. I don't know if you remember Art Monk's football camps. You know, they have the same thing for DC United now.
Yeah. It's all about this scratch money. That's what it's about because they don't make any money to begin with, most of them. And what they do is they kind of finance their, you know, they what's the word I'm looking for? They get additional monies running these camps. And Art Monk's camp is probably a good camp. I mean, he has it every year.
Does he still have it?
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen it advertised.
Maybe I can finally live my dream about going to Art Monk's football
Well, you
camp.
Should go. You should go to Art Monk's camp. I apologize. I'm a little hoarse. We're playing a doubleheader today. We played one game yesterday. I want to say we played a game the day before that, a doubleheader the day before that. I have a doubleheader today at 4 o'clock. That's all right. It's probably just Roy. Let it ring. I have a single game tomorrow, and I have a double. We finish a suspended game. From the other day on Tuesday, then we play a second game of a doubleheader. And I'm pretty sure until the Monday when the home run hitting contest is, for the Major League Baseball, you know, which is going to be in Minnesota Target Field this year. And it's one of the few All-Star games I won't be a part of. I usually go up, and I'm there every year, and I usually take Davis. But Davis is getting too old to keep to take because he's got a job now, and he can't afford to leave town.
Now you have to pay for a bar tab.
Absolutely. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to my show, Second Opinion. I got Matt Lynch on the box as usual. You know, there's been some changes. Up at WFAS, the FM evidently moved. They moved the stick, Cumulus did, to downtown Manhattan, I think, or somewhere in the city. And so in Westchester,
to Harlem.
There's no longer the FM, which makes for some opportunities for the AM to just take charge and get crazy now. And I'm pretty sure that. Hopefully, I'll be involved in a show or two. You know, I'm going to try to be more involved with the station. Even though I don't live in New York, I swear I feel like I do because I'm a real visual guy, and I like going up there, and I like the people up there. I like all the people I meet. I love working the golf show. I like going up for Giant games. I love going up. I would love to say I love going up for Met games and Yankee games. But except for the All-Star game, I haven't been in either new stadium. I used to go in old Yankee Stadium all the time, but I haven't been in the new stadium. I'm going to change that. That's going to change. We have a lot of listeners in Rockland County, too, and I'm looking to come up there and meet some people. We're probably going to have an event or two for this show in the near future. And as soon as August gets here and as soon as I'm not playing baseball and coaching baseball every single day, I'll be up there, and I'm looking forward to meeting some people. We really would like you to call in, though. One thing that a lot of people say, I'm just a little too dominant on the air. The people are afraid to call in. Call in. Listen, I won't blow you out. If we do, we'll just cut you off. I mean, if you say something bad, nobody will hear it. But listen.
They can smell your prowess through their speakers.
Well, here's the thing. Listen, I love a good debate. And tell you what I did this weekend. Can I tell you what I did? I went to the JFK. For those of you that know a little bit about the John F. Kennedy assassination, I mean, obviously since 1963, you know, there have been millions of people that have been not only interested, but interested enough to write books and do research and investigate the John F. Kennedy assassination. I think it's pretty easy to 75% of the people in the United States believe that he was killed as a result of conspiracy. Well, duh. Yeah, I guess he was. You know, I mean, but the point is that we had this big thing. Mark Lane wrote Rush to Judgment in 1966. It was published in 66, but he wrote it in 64 and 65. And Rush to Judgment is the original investigative documentation. It's of the assassination. And Mark Lane actually ran. I hope I'm not making a mistake, Mark, and I hope you're listening to the show today, but he ran the... No, he's a good guy, trust me. And he lived this long, so he's, you know, it's a blessing that happened. But, and Mark says, at least his secretary told me this, he's tired of apologizing that he lived so long. we're going to get back to that. But anyway, what I was going to say is 8 people showed up, and I was one of them. So what does that tell you? So if you ever have any questions about the assassination, want to know what happened, just call me. I'll tell you. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, and I am a realtor, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. Matt and I will be back in a minute with Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. I'm here with Matt Lynch, my cohort on the box, and we're going to have some fun. We were talking about the Kennedy assassination. I got Roy Edwards on the line.
Happy Sunday.
For those of you who don't know who Roy is my co-host whenever he decides he wants to show up. Where are you, Roy, today? You're like Matt. Right? Where's Matt Lauer?
I'm at the same place I am every 4th of July, which is in Southern Maryland with my family.
Now, is your dad there?
Yeah, he's here.
Yeah. Put him. No. Well, you need to have him call in next segment when we make picks. You know, there's got to be a way. Do you have calling from a
speakerphone?
No, but listen to me. I went to college, so I can figure this out. Do you have a hard line there? Like where?
I don't. But we can merge calls if we really want to do a conference call. Well, it's fine. He's probably over there fishing or something, doing something. You know.
Very fatherly. You know. Well, let me ask you a question. In Southern Maryland, so you're on the shore, so that's salt water, right? Or at least brackish water.
Yeah, we're
water,
down.
Right?
It's brackish. Yeah, we're down here at Point Lookout. So there's, it depends which side of Point Lookout you're on to be, salt or fresh. But it's mostly brackish down here.
Is it still kind of windy?
Yeah, it's pretty windy. I'm ducked down and under. You know. I'm like back in a corner outside somewhere, ducked down to get away from the 15 family members that are here and the wind who's trying to eat my phone.
Where's your beautiful wife and your great kid? Where are they?
Yeah, they're inside. Yeah. Tomorrow,
of course they are.
Birthday. Yeah, tomorrow's my wife's birthday, actually.
And what is she? So she's going to be 19, right? 19, 20,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah,
yeah, you guys met when she was
finally legal.
Am I supposed to say this? I think. Weren't you like 15 when you got married or something?
No. Well, yeah, sure.
Okay. Hey, listen. let's talk a little bit about. Did your teams win in World Cup? And if they didn't, why didn't they win?
Yeah, Hup Hup Holland, man.
You're a Netherlands guy?
Well, but everyone down here is following Netherlands. My older brother, he's my half brother, actually.
Aaron.
But yeah, Aaron. He is. He's half Dutch. So,
is he really? So
yeah,
so his mom was Dutch.
Yeah, his mom was born in Amsterdam.
So that means that she was great to have as a wife / girlfriend because she paid for all of her food, right?
Yeah. So he's down here. So we've had the World Cup on. You know, he's a huge soccer fan, and he's got Dutch. He's got the Netherlands playing Brazil in the final. So I guess the Netherlands went to a shootout yesterday.
Yeah, they did.
I saw 4-3.
Yeah, it was all right. Hey, you know, I really don't think they should have a shootout, though. I think that's ridiculous for a World Cup. I think they should be out there until people are falling over with exhaustion. I mean, literally, there's only six guys playing against four guys.
We're in day 14 of because, Netherlands versus Costa Rica.
Then conditioning would play a big part.
I think it already does.
I think conditioning already plays a big part, but I heard a great take on this, Bruce, from it was Colin Cowherd on ESPN. Had a great
who the
take
hell
on
is that? Tell me somebody I know. Oh, you mean Colin Cowherd from The Herd?
Yeah, Colin Cowherd.
Barely heard, that. Often heard, but very rarely believed. Go ahead.
I love Colin Cowherd.
I do, too. Everybody says I'm kind of like him, but I don't think so.
He had a great take on this shootout for the World Cup, saying that no sport goes a full, you know, to just keep playing, except baseball. Baseball is the only sport that has it right.
And it's the only sport, period.
Right. What? But it's the only sport that, you know, kind of gets the overtime right, or so to speak, what fans say. But it's also the only sport where people leave as the game goes longer.
Right.
You know, whereas you look at, you know, people will start leaving in the 12th inning or the 13th inning to just leave the game. They won't see the outcome. Whereas, you know, hockey, they do a shootout. Soccer obviously does a shootout, or they'll tie. I honestly like the shootout better than the tie.
Yeah, I guess.
So then you have basketball that, yes, they go overtime, but it's a shortened period. It's like 5 minutes as opposed to 20 minutes. So, I mean, they're all shortened versions of themselves, except baseball, who just plays another 3 hours.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Roy. I mean, talking about this and everything else, I mean, don't you think, I mean, for the World Cup, I mean, this is a world tournament. I mean, it really is. And it's one of the few world tournaments there are. I mean, the Olympics is basically a tournament because if you win the tournament, you win a gold medal. But you know, as far as soccer goes, I mean, as a former soccer player, I would love being out there when I'm cramping up and when I'm dying, you know. And literally what you'd end up with, in my opinion, is you'd run out of guys to substitute, and then you might, you know, you might be playing with seven or eight guys for a while, then all of a sudden you're back to 10, then you're back to six or seven, and your goalkeeper, you know, you look at a certain point when he goes, well, you know what, they're in our on our end of the field all the time, sooner or later we're going to lose. The goalkeeper just leaves the goal and then, you know, goes down the field and tries to help the offense get going. Then I think you'd get an ending anyway. You know what I mean? They'd get so, I mean, they'd get so panicked they'd lose. And I think that's that would be a good thing to do.
I don't like the just continue to play thing. I would be kind of in favor. I mean that's why they have extra time, right?
I thought,
I mean,
you were like a long distance. Oh, that's right. You were a golfer. There's not. Did you guys have to walk in high school when you played golf, or did you take a cart?
Yeah. No, we had to walk.
All right,
I played midfield lacrosse, so. I mean,
yeah, but well, all right. How does it work in lacrosse?
In overtime, you play sudden death. But you know, lacrosse games are, you know, 15-13. You know, it's
Are there ties?
No, you don't tie.
There's never a tie in lacrosse.
No.
So, like baseball, lacrosse has figured out how to end the game without having a shootout.
Well, you play overtime, which next game, next goal wins, but the periods are shortened. It's like it's kind of like a basketball.
So basically, basketball, baseball, and lacrosse have figured out how to do it. Soccer, because it's, well, let me just go out on a limb and say boring at times. You know, and and by the way, how many times have we said during even that? And don't get me wrong, I love the World Cup because I've become a fan. But how many times have we said, oh, what a surprise, it's 0-0. You know, my point is, my point is that then they have a shootout. You don't have a shootout, have a man out. A man out. That means the best men win. They don't shoot the best over, you know, they don't have the best shooters in the shootout. Because that's not fair to all the guys that have great defense. You know, what about the team? Mm-hmm. You know, you could win a
that
game.
That is a really good point.
You could look. I was a defender, but I played the point on offense too. But I love defense, and all you do with defense is work inside out. If you keep everybody outside, and you can stay inside them, you're probably going to win a lot of matches.
Look at the Costa Rica game.
Absolutely.
They were on defense the entire game, and they kept every single point out.
Yeah.
All right, you finally convinced me on a point. Well, in the 3 years we've been doing the show,
because you would need with that kind of strategy is a couple of really good chip and go goal scorers. You know what you don't see in the World Cup, Roy, that I really miss from my days of playing, even when I played club soccer, which we played with Duke, UNC, NC State, East Carolina varsity guys, and we would beat them from time to time. We chipped and ran a lot. We would get the ball out to the wings and fly down, you know, center the ball, trap it, and shoot from 20, 30 yards out, and we would test the goalie all the time. You don't see that at this level. I don't know why.
You would have if what's his name for the U.S. didn't go out. That was exactly what Jurgen Klinsmann was trying to do. Is you have your skill
Tim Howard,
player?
Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Beasley,
Altidore,
Josie Altidore.
If he wouldn't have gone out, that's exactly what they were looking at. That's why they had basically a 5-person defense with two defending midfielders. Is basically just have that base in the box and then just shoot it out and let Altidore run it as fast as possible.
It's all about penetration. Penetration and getting the ball to somebody that can take a shot. You know how many times I have thrown something at my TV during this World Cup and said, shoot the damn ball, shoot, shoot, shoot. You know what they always do? They do what you coach kids not to do when you coach them in soccer. Don't play with the ball too much. Let it go. You got to let it go. And even at this level, these guys play with the freaking ball too long, and they've had open shots, but they won't take it. They want to get a little bit better angle, a little bit closer to the goal. And you know what happens? A guy tackles the ball.
That Netherlands game was a very good example of that. But at this level, you had the really great players who were doing that. Like you look at Messi, you look at
I love Messi.
Some of the Brazil players, they
is a player.
Walk across and find their spot and shoot.
That guy's a player, and that guy. that guy, you know, all these guys have just as good a left foot as they do a right foot. I mean, that's part of the deal. And that was what, when you...
Except for Mueller from Germany. Yeah,
my God. That was terrible. but listen, Matt, by the way, Roy, Matt's picked Germany.
Do you think Germany?
I thought you said Germany was going to win. Yeah. Oh, now wait a minute. You're going to go back on what you said like 10 minutes ago?
I asked you who you liked. Argentina. I said it would be Argentina beating Germany.
Yep. Yes. What do you think about that, Roy? I think you have the other two teams, don't you?
Yeah, we have Hub Holland and Brazil.
Right? Well, you know
I'm,
what?
I'm just I'm following my brother on this one.
Hey, Holland couldn't get a score on a CONCACAF team, so I was less impressed.
Hey, Roy, is Aaron still playing soccer?
No, man, he's 35.
You act like that's too old to run around a field. It's not
Thanks, Roy.
Jesus, Roy. Yeah,
it is.
He's 35. He's too old. I have a daughter, 36.
He
still plays, you know, like.
Name getting, Aaron, you know, like, by the way.
You know, like getting out on the, you know, like how I still play basketball with Pickley. You know, pickup games.
Half court.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, half court. And you just gun it from the outside and don't play defense like all white guys. Well,
No, what are you talking about?
All white guys that let it go from 30 feet. Boom!
Those are the 60-year-old guys at the gym.
That's me.
The 60-year-old guys at the gym are the ones who only play defense.
Yeah.
And those are the guys you actually want to swing at.
That's because they play like the old days, man. We used to put bodies on people and hold on to them. Look, when you play basketball with me, you can't even see me fouling you, but I'm fouling you every minute I'm on the court.
Are you eye fouling you?
No. I just use my body. Look, back in the 60s and 70s when the Boston Celtics played, the 76ers, the Lakers, everybody put a hand on somebody. That's how they let you play. And then the scores got so low in the NBA, they started calling everything. And so then we started shooting more.
If you notice, that's how the World Cup has gone this year. It's been more physical this year. There's a lot more push and pull and tugging. There's also a little bit more more injuries, as we can probably see in the next.
Yeah, but you know, Roy, out of every guy that you see that hits the ground that looks like he wasn't touched, what would you say the percentage is on just big pussy looking? Matt's dumping me again. That's not a bad word, Matt. I am talking about a person. All right, well, here we go. All right, that's a weenie. Can I say that's kind of a weenie move? It's a weenie move.
75%.
I'd say it's 90%.
Are floppers.
They're all floppers. Why don't they get a yellow card for flopping?
They do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Well, that's when they do a backflip when they flop.
It's part of the rules. It's if the ref sees a flop, he'll yellow card it, and then get fined later on.
You know what? That's one of the reasons a lot of people don't like soccer, because these guys literally go out there and pretend like every time somebody makes a tackle, they're injured for life.
But that's also why a lot of people like Messi, because they see a player like Messi who can get punched and kicked in the gut. He can get his legs taken out from under him, and he never stops, and he's always on the ball till it's in the goal.
Well, yeah, and he makes all the floppers look bad, and they are bad.
What's the difference between flopping in soccer and pretending to take selling the charge in basketball, or a catcher framing a strike?
Well, I would say the difference is in basketball, when they take a charge, they take the contact and actually go to the floor, and it does probably hurt. They just have to get there at the right time to get the right call. In soccer, those guys just flop to try to get a guy a yellow card or get a call on a penalty, on a foul.
It is selling it, but the league is also trying to protect the image of the game. So that's why they are yellowing, and they are red carding, and they are fining.
Every sport sells. Every sport sells, and every sport has their version of the flop.
Yeah, I hear you. You hear the music, Roy? You hear the music?
Yeah.
We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS. Hey, Roy. Oh. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and Roy's going to be calling in later. I've got a good friend of mine from way back, and also a guy that is a realtor, and one of our biggest sponsors of the show. is the National Association of Realtors. They have over 1 million members. They are worldwide. And one of the guys that is the reason that they are such a strong organization is a guy by the name of Bill Armstrong, who I'm happy to not only call as a former treasurer, correct, Bill, of the National Association of Realtors?
But that's correct.
But also a good friend of mine. Bill, thanks for joining us on the show. We should have done this a long time ago. But you know what?
Well, thanks, Bruce. Hey, I wanted to tell you another thing you forgot to say about my bio, and that is that I played soccer with you on club over at East Carolina.
You know, you did, and I was pretty good, wasn't I?
Oh, yeah. You were a memorable.
Yeah, let me tell you, we used to put guys together. Do you remember when we got a team together to play the varsity every year? And I think you were on that team. And,
I do, and I remember they had to run laps after we whooped them.
Yeah, that, and they had to buy us 5 kegs of beer, and they bought it 2 years in a row. We had one soccer player from East Carolina, former player who was in ROTC and was their goalie. He played as our goalie. So we had me, and we had this goalie and a bunch of guys that just loved to play soccer, and we beat them every year, and it was a lot of fun. Club soccer, well, what did we do? We got together once a week, basically, and traveled and played and drank a lot of beer. That was almost like rugby.
Yeah, we played under the lights at Duke on their AstroTurf.
That's right.
I remember we had a lot of fun.
I met James Taylor on that trip. He was in my mother's place in Chapel Hill. I walked in, and some guy was sitting at the bar, and I sat down and ordered a beer, and he looked over at me, and I went, "You know, you look a lot like James Taylor." And he goes, "Well, that's because I am James Taylor." He was living in Chapel Hill at the time.
Did he have hair then?
He had real long hair then.
Nice.
Hey, listen, I think that was even before he might have married, what's her name? But listen, Bill, why don't you explain as best you can, and I know you can do this because you do this all the time. Tell everybody about what the NAR is, what you guys do, and what your job as the NAR treasurer was like over the past. Did you do that for 4 years or 2 years?
Well, it was close to 4 years by the time I had my my year of indoctrination. But it was 3 years, three separate 1 year terms, and I guess they didn't have enough reason to kick me out. But and then I stopped doing that to let somebody else have the chance. But it was a great opportunity. It is the world's largest professional trade association, and we have 80 international country members. So I got to travel around, had a lot of fun doing that, going to foreign countries, signed a bilateral agreement working with the country of Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, and got to go to a bunch of countries that really, really want to be a part of NAR and what we do. But clearly two-thirds of what we do is representing the interests of real estate, property rights, consumers' rights. We defend the mortgage interest deduction. We got to keep banks out of real estate, which was a great move because I can't imagine where we would have been if banks had gotten into real estate back in 2008, where we would have gone otherwise if they'd gotten in.
You know what, Bill? There's been so many times, and this isn't to give bank, you know, to jump all over banks, but it just seems like two or three times after I got my real estate license in the mid-'80s, the banking industry needed bailouts, and one of the reasons they needed bailouts was because they were doing some things they weren't supposed to be doing, and they were generally doing them themselves. It wasn't like they were getting a lot of help with the realtors. It was like attorneys and banks trying to get a piece of the pie. Everything is a lot better when realtors just do their job, and everybody lets them do their job, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I had a conversation with my congressman back years ago, and he said, "Well, what's the problem? Why shouldn't we let banks get into it? Wouldn't it be more professional?" And I said, "Well, we're talking about the spirit of competition, and we've got 1 million members, and in any particular city or county, there may be, you know, hundreds or even thousands of realtors competing for the business, and the commissions, they are negotiable. They become less negotiable if huge conglomerate banks come in there and start directing everybody to them, and it's awfully convenient for them to be the first point of contact, start assigning them to an agent, and then tell them, here's where your funding comes from, here's your insurance provider, and here's your title company." And so they would run all of that, and then competition starts to go out the window because as you can see what's happened with banks, there are a couple of big banks that are gobbling up all the others. So I very much appreciate the smaller banks that are out there in the world and what they provide for local service.
Now, Billy, you started out, and you still live in the state of Maryland. You live in Damascus. You're married to a wonderful woman who is a veterinarian. You got three great kids. You know, being away was probably kind of tough for you for those 3 years. You're doing some catching up now, aren't you?
I am. We're at the beach right now. And matter of fact, I share a birthday with, I guess it was Roy's wife, tomorrow. So we're here celebrating that. And the Independence Day, Pam and Will and his buddy Tommy and my daughter Lindsay all just took off to go to the beach. And I've got some work to do here. So I'm going to do a little of that and take tomorrow off and play some golf.
Now let me ask you, while we're talking about the NAR, which is kind of my point of focus here. A lot of people don't know this about you, but you're a big sports fan. You've probably been, how many sporting events would you say you and I have been to together over the past 30 years?
Oh my gosh. I can't even begin to say we've been to a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of fun doing it.
Hey, you know what? Nobody enjoys sports more than me, but I think you enjoy it just as much. I can't wait till this doubleheader is over today. I got a single game tomorrow. You know, it's beautiful outside. It's like 85 to 86 degrees and sun's out, and I need to be putting sunscreen on, but you know, I'm not going to complain about anything after this horrible winter we had. Let me ask you about this, because you mentioned something that's really interesting to me, and you and I have talked about it, but share it with our listeners. These countries overseas that we have partnerships with the NAR, they don't have a lot of laws concerning buying and selling real estate, do they? And people get taken advantage of big time, right?
They sure do. When I was in India, it was, I discovered that they don't have any kind of exclusive listings. So everything is working out of behind closed doors. Nobody shares information. So from the consumer's perspective, they're not really getting served. They might have gotten a better value for their home when they do sell a home, because if you put it out there and there's competition, people trying to come in and help sell it, they'll get more money for it. On the other hand, there's no licensing. So the problem with that is, if there's no licensing, you don't have any way that you can stop somebody from practicing real estate. And the same thing, I spoke in Poland, in Warsaw, about this same exact issue. And they had gotten a whole new slate of candidates elected, and they were going to do away with all regulations across the board. The problem with that is, and I'm not a big fan of over-regulation, certainly, and you know that.
Right.
But when I got to talking to these folks, I said, look, if you don't have licensing for real estate professionals, then if somebody does something wrong, you have no jurisdiction to take away that right so that they can't practice. And that's a huge thing. And so there is some stuff. Now, when we go to all these foreign countries, and like I said, we have about 80 different international member countries, we do require that they have to adhere to a certain number of principles. And one of those is a code of ethics, so that it defends the consumer, looks out for the consumer. You can't do things that aggrieve them. So there are some things that we require. You can't just join up. You have to adhere to our code of ethics and certain parameters.
Well, listen, I can't thank you enough for coming on. You're watching the World Cup, right? Because being a former soccer player, you're kind of into that. We also have a couple of buddies that were really good football players that played on our club team. One of them, his name is Kephart. He's a football coach. Where's he coaching now? Is he at Damascus? No.
No, he's
Gaithersburg.
At Gaithersburg High School.
That's right. He's over there with the president of the Cal Ripken Collegiate Baseball League, Jason Woodard, who's the athletic director there. The one thing that I've loved, you know, I love soccer, and you hear me give soccer a really bad time with Matt from time to time, but you saw me play. You know I love to play that game. I mean, that was the first, you know, I didn't play football in high school because I was only 13 in the 10th grade. I'd have never played. I would have sat on the bench. Yeah. So I went out for soccer, and as I got bigger, stronger, faster, I improved my soccer skills. But I tell you what, you remember me, right? Shoot the damn ball, right?
Yeah.
It's like, don't dribble it, shoot it. Hey, Billy, I appreciate you coming on. You have a great time at the beach, okay, buddy? And give everybody
Thanks.
A hug for me, will you? Bill Armstrong, former treasurer of the National Association of Realtors. and a very good old friend of mine. For the first time in generations, ironically enough, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So I get to be in my glory this week because I get to finally talk about soccer. I get ridiculed every week for talking about soccer.
We're down to the semis. Doesn't get any bigger in the world than this.
So I'm going to call it out.
Okay.
I'm calling Germany-Argentina is my pick.
In the finals.
That's going to be my pick for the finals.
Okay.
What is your pick?
Brazil, for sure. And they'll be playing Argentina.
So you have Brazil, Argentina. Who do you think will win?
Brazil.
All right, I think it's going to be Germany who's going to win.
You know what? The only reason I'm not picking Germany is I really didn't like them during World War II at all.
Yeah, my wife just said...
That's the only reason I'm not picking them.
That was my wife's...
They're physical now. Hey, they may be the most physical team out there. They look good.
That was my wife's decision for not rooting for them. She's like, I just haven't forgiven them for World War II. Well, I said to her,
and it really,
who has?
Yeah, nobody's forgiven them. So, and then there are those idiots out there that think the Holocaust never happened. Yeah, right. Yeah, there you go.
So we want to know what our listeners think. If you've been watching the World Cup, if you have an opinion that is not Bruce's, hit us up on Twitter. Hashtag BH Sports. Give us your two in the final and who's going to win. That's it. We want to know if we're right or wrong. Hashtag BH Sports.
You know, I'm going to talk a little bit, and please do send us hashtag BH Sports.
Correct.
I mean, all my people that are listening to me that are on their computers and Facebook, send it in. This is big. You know what? I tell you what I'll do. Whoever wins and can predict the score of the final game, as long as you've called in today, you'll be eligible for the finals. We will send everybody that is a winner one of our profootballguru.com shirts, and I will invite the one winner to Washington to see the Redskins play the New York Giants. How's that sound? It'll be the one game where we have them here because I don't have a lot of contacts in New York. Have you ever noticed, like, there's like 10 million people who live within an hour of New York City? Well, there's only like 65,000-70,000 seats in that stadium. Oh my God.
So that's hashtag BH Sports. Give us your two in the final, who's going to win, and the score.
In the final. You got to pick the final now. Sorry. Okay. Anyway, let's get into baseball. I'm trying to get a hold of one of my favorite people in the world, Mike Wallace, to get him to call in. We were going to go over what's going on because it's not going to be long, but within, what is today, like the 8th? Today is July 6th. My bad. The 13th, 14th, I mean, we're going to be... 8 days from now is the Home Run Derby. The Futures game is 7 days from now at Target Field, Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's about one of the only times you'll get into Minneapolis and there's not like 10 feet of snow on the ground. Tuesday night, a week, which is, 9 days from now, there will be the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. They're going to announce the starting lineups that were voted in tonight, I think, after 6 o'clock. And the problem that you've got with the voting now is everybody's on the computer trying to get their guy in. And by getting their guy in, I mean getting their guys in for their teams. I'm not sure I love the way that the voting goes. I don't appreciate the fact that you can vote every day and you can vote up to 20 times. That, to me, that doesn't seem fair because there are people that just fill out ballots at the stadium, and they have competition for that and all. That's not fair. What would be fair would be you going online, voting once. I think even twice would be okay, because I think a lot of people would vote in June when the ballots come out. And then I think a lot of people would vote the last week because they may want to change their mind. And I think that they should be able to change their mind, which means you vote twice. You basically cancel out your other vote. You don't cancel it out, but by voting for somebody different, at least you give that guy who you found 30 days later to be a little bit better. That's the way I would do it. That's me. There are a lot of other things that happen because, you know, the Giants went in twice in the last 4 years, and Bruce Bochy got to pick. You know, he gets manager's picks. They also, the players have picks. There are pitchers, you know, they have to put pitchers on. And I'm pretty sure it's 32 players or 35 players make the team now. Well, it's almost impossible to get all those guys in. But it's going to be, I think Target Field is going to be a great place to have this. It's not going to be 100 degrees. Look, in New York City last year, Matt, it was 112 degrees on the field. I spent half the game.
That's Brazil weather.
It was hotter than Brazil, trust me. I spent half the game in New York at Citi Field in the really nice bar that they had indoors with the AC cranked up. It was so brutally hot, and it was a boring as hell game. After the home run derby, it really wasn't that big a deal. But this year's going to be different. We're going to do some baseball right now. I'm going over the American League standings because there's a lot of Yankee fans that listen to us, and God bless all you Yankee fans. You know, it's been, you know, one of the most glorious teams in the history of Major League Baseball. This isn't such a glorious year. You've won 3 out of your last 10 games. You're 3 games back of Baltimore and Toronto, and you're 43-43. You need a plan B. Now, it's going to take a while to get a plan B, in my opinion, but I think what you ought to consider doing, Mr. Cashman and Mr. Steinbrenner and everybody else who sits on the board and has a job over there, may want to consider doing it like the people who are winning games do. Build your minor league system back up. It can happen. You've got so many people that you're going to be dumping salaries. There's a million things you could do right now. You should be a seller right now, even though you're only 3 games back. In my opinion, you should be a seller, and you should be getting rid of people, you know, like Mark Teixeira, who could help somebody. Certainly not Derek Jeter. You know, he's playing his last year, and he's on his little tour and Derek Jeter needs to retire a Yankee. Brian Roberts would not be a bad pickup for somebody if he stays healthy, even though he's 37, 38 years old. You know, you look around, even Ichiro Suzuki, great pickup, great fourth outfielder for anybody in the league. I mean, this is a guy that's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He'll be in the World Hall of Fame. He'll be in the Japanese Hall of Fame. He'll be in our Hall of Fame. You got some pitchers? Well, I'm sorry, no, you don't. 3 of them are hurt. Tanaka's not going anywhere. You need to keep him, obviously, because he's young and he's your ace. Everybody else, I would say, is expendable. I'd even consider getting rid of CeCe. Now, he may be done for the year, but you may want to consider trading him while he's hurt, in my opinion. I think you need to dump at least $100 to $125 million worth of salary, and you need to start looking at prospects. And that's what you got to do. I mean, it's just what you got to do. The Boston Red Sox, it's hard for me to tell how good they're going to be at the end of the year. Their pitching is what's killing them. They're hitting the ball okay. They still have Big Poppy. They still got Dustin Pedroia. They still got some guys running around that place that can play a little bit. But I don't see either one of the Yankees or Boston winning this. I see Toronto or Baltimore being one of the teams. I think Baltimore is going to get better, and I think Toronto is better than they've played. They're only 6 games over 500. Jose Bautista. Edwin Encarnacion got hurt yesterday. I don't know if you saw the replays on MLB Network or on SportsCenter or even in the actual game, but he went down and it doesn't look good. I did pick the Baltimore Orioles to win it again this year, and I got a feeling they're going to do it. In the Central Division, you got the Detroit Tigers, who have basically flexed a little muscle recently. Ricky Porcello goes out today. He's pitched two shutouts in a row. I want to say 22 scoreless innings in a row. There isn't anybody, you know, the only guy that's not really doing a good job in Detroit is Justin Verlander, who they're paying $25 million a year for the next 7 years. Might even be an 8-year deal. Kansas City's hanging close, but I don't see them having enough pitching to really challenge Detroit. Detroit is going to win this. Ian Kinsler, if he stays healthy, and Miguel Cabrera, if he stays healthy enough, they're going to be able to win the Central Division without much of a problem and return probably to the championship game of the American League. Oakland just made a trade, Billy Beane did, for Jason Hamill and Jeff Samardzija, the two best Cubs pitchers. They're now Oakland A's. By the way, Oakland's 20 games over 500. We're going to be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS and talk more baseball.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I tell you, you know, it wasn't that long ago that I remember when Wimbledon was around for 3 weeks. I want to say it's a 3-week tournament. I mean, it lasts forever. It might be 2 weeks. And I've never been to London ever. You know, I'm 60 years old, never been to England. I've got, you know, some background there. I mean, I have relatives that were in England. I have relatives that were in Scotland. I have relatives that were in the mountains of North Carolina. A little later then than the others, but I can remember sitting down and watching almost all of the good Wimbledon matches when I was in my 20s and 30s. It was a big deal. Amateur tennis, which pretty sure that's what Wimbledon is. I want to say it's an amateur event. I think if you're professional, you do get paid, but if you're an amateur, you don't get paid. Obviously, you won't be able to stay an amateur very long.
Hence the name.
But I got to tell you, Wimbledon was big. You know, Bjorn Borg, Jimmy Connors, Arthur Ashe, Billie Jean King, Chris Evert, Martina Navratilova. You know, tennis has taken a back seat to every other sport there is. And I would say even soccer to a certain extent. I'm talking about MLS soccer. I'm not talking about World Cup soccer. Obviously, soccer's bigger than anything in the world. We got a phone call. I have no idea who this is.
I think it's Roy.
Oh, it's Roy. He must be bored. Roy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, buddy.
I asked Roy to call. I'm just kidding. Hey Roy, we're going over baseball. I'm gonna go over. I was talking about Wimbledon. Did you ever watch Wimbledon? Because I know your dad did. Because I can remember watching it with him.
No, I don't like tennis.
Yeah, but Wimbledon. Yeah, but that's because tennis was never a big deal for you. Because, you know, that was kind of the other sport that everybody had a tennis racket and everybody had some tennis balls. And we all knew how to go play. I would play with a friend of mine who was on the Wakefield tennis team, and we would go play. And I could have been a good tennis player, but I played baseball in the spring. I didn't play tennis. Christ, who the hell wants to play tennis when you're playing baseball? So I didn't play tennis. Now, when I got into my 20s, one of the good recreational things to do during the spring and summer when you're when you're, see, you tell me to move away, and every time I move away, I can't even hear myself.
You said recreational, and I was just making
That's very funny. That's not funny, actually.
It was. Hilarious.
We were doing charades here. You can imagine what recreational thing Matt was doing. But anyway, we used to go hang out in the summertime after summer school was over in the morning, and we would just go tap a keg of beer and cook a pig, and we would play tennis and basketball with just a pair of with a bathing suit on, and of course no sunscreen, because we're trying to get as dark as humanly possible, and we would play tennis for hours because you'd sweat, you'd work up, you know, it was good exercise, great exercise.
No, we still play tennis. You know, when we go to the pools and stuff, a lot of the pools that a lot of my friends belong to and stuff like that. And we had, you know, friendly competitions and stuff like that. Well, I say friendly, but we kept track and they were not as friendly. But, I mean, yeah, we played tennis. It was readily available. But as far as Wimbledon and professional tennis and the Open.
French Open.
I don't really – we never really paid attention
US
to
Open.
It.
But I got to tell you.
I have friends who paid attention to it and they're really into tennis. But group and I grew up more paying attention to golf. So I'm more into golf than probably most people my age. You know, I follow the Masters and I follow the majors and, you know, so.
Well, you're also 27 or 28 years old. Back when I was your age, there were only a few things on TV. There wasn't a lot of cable TV. There was, you know, there was the you know, CNN, there was Atlanta, there was TBS. Everybody was an Atlanta Brave fan when I was your age. You know why?
You know,
because everybody got it. Everybody got the Braves on TV all over the country.
Yeah, growing up, I knew a lot of Braves fans. I mean, I watched the Braves.
They were fun to watch. They were good.
It is.
Well, they had all the money. They had all the money, Roy. They had all the money. Yeah. Ted Turner created an empire with TBS and CNN. And, you know, TBS.
I mean, the Braves were on more than the Orioles were on.
Now you know what I was talking about, Matt. The thing about it is that most baseball players, and you were a baseball player because your father was and he loves the game. Uh-huh. Most baseball players end up being golfers because it's, you know, it's a lot of fun and we get to hit a ball a long way. We hit a golf ball a hell of a lot further than we hit a baseball.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yep.
But hey, you're listening to Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm on the phone with my co-host Roy, and Matt's on the box over here. Hey, Roy, let's get started on baseball because I think Mazur's calling in at 11:30, and we're gonna talk a little bit then. But let's go over. I was talking about the American League standings. You remember when I picked Baltimore again at the start of the season, they're actually tied for the lead. I think New York should be a seller. I mentioned that in the previous segment because they've got all these guys that could help other teams, but no matter how hard the New York Yankees try this year, they just have too many injuries and they're too old and they're not going to win the East. Don't you think they should be sellers before the deadline?
You know, at some point, I feel like they have to, you know, be a seller or build the farm system, but I feel like every year I'm saying that, you know, every year I'm saying, oh, well, they need to get younger. That's not the way you do it anymore in baseball. And then that off season, they go out and buy a bunch of new old people. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, the baseball logic says that they need to be sellers and that they need to develop a farm system and they need to give their young guys a chance. But that's not the Yankee way. So, I don't know. I don't think they're going to be sellers. They'll probably be buyers, and they'll probably go out and buy a couple big names to, you know, end-of-the-year contracts, and that's the way the Yankees do it.
Well, you know, you say that's not the Yankee way, but in the old days, that's how they built all those things. You know, guys like Mickey Mantle, guys like Roger Maris, those guys actually Maris ended up in St. Louis, but they all came out of the Yankee system. Whitey Ford, Yogi Berra. Back in the old days, those guys all played minor league baseball. Billy Martin, they did. The problem is that when the Yankees, when they started making so much money through their cable interests and their satellite interests, you remember we were just talking about how the Atlanta Braves with TBS and CNN dominated the country. Well, guess what? Yes Network is everywhere too, and there's Yankee fans everywhere except. you know, a lot of the Yankee fans, like their players, are getting old fast. You know, mm-hmm. and sooner or later, they need to kind of get a little youthful movement going so they can get competitive again, because Baltimore's doing it. You know, Baltimore doesn't build through free agency. They can't afford it. You know, I mean, occasionally, right. like Nelly Cruz, they got for $8 million. That was the steal of the entire free agency period, you know, mm-hmm. and that's because they signed him smartly, and Duquette did, late, you know, very late. Everybody was scared of him because of his PED use, you know.
Yeah.
And now it's like everybody's forgotten it. Toronto is, like you said last week, is doing what they should have done last year. They're just starting to look better. They're pitching is much better, and they can hit the ball and score some runs. But I don't see, you know, Tampa Bay's getting ready to deal. I just hope the San Francisco Giants get David Price, because I told Boach this week, and that's just between me and you in a rock and hard place. I told these guys, I'm a big, you know, I'm a big fan of a 6-man rotation, right? Especially mm-hmm. second half of the season. Let me tell you something. If you add a David Price to Timmy Lincecum, to Big Sugar, to Vogelsong, to Madison Bumgarner, it gives you another lefty starter, and you give your guys an extra day of rest in the time where they're going to be getting more and more tired anyway. I think that's smart, because then if somebody goes down, you still got a 5-man rotation, right? Now, granted, you're going to have to give away some minor league guys. I think the Giants have the minor league guys to give away.
Would you want to give up, you know, the current rotation and the current – because I know a lot of pitchers are very – what's the right word? I don't know if I want to say fragile, but they're very into their routines.
No, I understand. All it does is give them an extra day of rest, Roy. An extra day of rest is great for a routine.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just saying that's not going to affect them. That wouldn't have. You know what it's like? It's like a rain day. And rain days, they look forward to rain days. You know what pitchers do on rain days? They go out and play golf in the rain.
Yeah.
They do. For the first time in generations, Roy, will you stay on, please?
Sure.
Hey, for the first time in Roy goes, sure. Why not? Right. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you, protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with Roy on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Roy, you still on the line, buddy?
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, let's talk baseball. You ready to rock and roll? You got a newspaper in front of you or anything?
I don't. No.
I bet you got a margarita in front of you, don't you?
No margaritas. I've been drinking this Flying Dog Old Bay beer.
Yeah.
Down here. Summer ale. It's called Dead Rise. Very good out there.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
All check it out.
You got it on ice? You got it on ice, I hope, because it's kind of warm on the beach to drink.
Absolutely.
That is so Maryland.
So Maryland.
So Natty Bo, baby. Hey, listen.
That's my dog's name, actually.
Natty Bo?
His name's Bo, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Hey, listen. I got Baltimore winning the East. It's tight, but it's getting ready not to be so tight. You know, ironically enough, Tampa Bay is 40-50, but they only have 6 less wins than the Baltimore Orioles. So, you know, you got to wonder, are they going to sell or are they going to buy? They don't have the money to buy. And I got a feeling they don't want to pay David Price what he's worth next year or the year after. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to put Price up. I think he's gone. I think they're going to rebuild. I see that happening. Boston, you know, I think they're going to hang. I don't think they're going to do anything, because first of all, they don't have anybody wants except Dustin Pedroia. Mm-hmm. I mean, who else do they have that anybody would want? Maybe John Lester, but he's not even pitching that well. But you go to the Central, Detroit is the team that's going to do it. Kansas City would have to spend a substantial amount of money to try to catch Detroit, and I don't think they would anyway. So I think they're going to stand pat. And I think Detroit might add a position player somebody that can help them maybe off the bench, but that's it. Detroit's pretty solid. I see them winning the Central, and Oakland just added Jeff Samardzija, who gets his first start for the Oakland A's today. And by the way, that's one of my plays today. They're 53-33. They're like the Giants were before the Giants lost, you know, 17 out of 23. Now, the Giants came back last night. My boy Brandon Belt hit a two-run bomb in the 10th inning to win. And Brandon Crawford made an unbelievable diving play up the middle and threw out a runner that saved the game, because if the guy scores from second, the game's over. San Diego would have beat him two times in a row, which is pretty embarrassing. You know, you got your boy Albert Pujols. I know how much you like him, Roy. He's starting
Albert
to hit
Wayne the Pujols.
Yeah, you know what? He's starting to hit the ball pretty well again. You got Josh Hamilton healthy. You got Mike Trout. They're going to hang probably the whole time because their pitching is pretty good. But yeah. I don't see them catching Oakland now with Samardzija and Hamill. How are they going to? No, I don't see it happening. Do you?
No, not at all. No. And I think they'll be in it. I think they're, you know, probably a postseason team.
You know,
I don't think you can catch. I don't think anyone's catching Oakland right now. I think they're going to probably end up being the one seed in the AL.
I think your wild cards are coming from the West for sure. You know who else might be in there? Seattle. You know, Seattle has quietly they're 9 games out in front. Guess who else is only 9 games out in front? San Francisco. So if you just said 3 weeks ago Seattle is going to have the same record as San Francisco. 3 weeks ago, you could have gotten 500-1 odds on that.
You know why, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Angela Rippon.
Well, I know you keep using. Is she that hot? Really?
She's that hot.
You know what? You know what we got to do? Will you do me a big favor, because you can get anything done? Get her on the show next week. I want to talk to this girl. You know what? I'll call Mark. I've got Mark's cell phone number somewhere.
Yeah. No, I can get her. I've interviewed her before. I've had her on the show.
All right. Well, let's do it. Let's get her on next week, because she must be the reason that Seattle is doing all these things. Plus, I want to talk about all the guys. They have, you know, they got Dustin Ackley on that team. They got Smoke on that team. They have a good team. I mean, they're not bad, and you know, they still have King Felix and several guys that are pitching pretty well. Their pen's a lot better. Texas sucks. They're doing nothing. I think the big bet in Vegas is, does Texas finish in last place or does Houston finish in last place? I say it's Texas.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, let's go to the National League standings. Atlanta is 1.5. Atlanta's won what, 9 games in a row? Unbelievable.
Yeah, they're on fire.
They are on fire, and guess what? For the first time, it's like it must be some kind of a situation with the atmosphere, but both BJ and Justin Upton hit. I think they had 10 runs scored yesterday and 6 RBIs between them. That's pretty unbelievable. Now Washington, I went to the game, Roy. You know, I had a game yesterday afternoon. We beat the DC Grays. I love this 3-1. Grays played tough. They did a good job on the mound. We hit nothing but rockets the whole damn game at people, but we hit the ball well enough to win 3-1. That game was over in 2 hours, 9 innings. We ended up driving from the Washington Nationals youth training facility in Southeast Washington, which is literally 3 miles from the ballpark. And yeah, I got into the game in the first inning with one of my pitchers. We stayed, you know me, we stayed 6 innings and I was falling asleep. I was so exhausted. So I went home.
It was probably already, what, 11-0?
Yeah, it was 7-0. So we left.
Yeah.
And I got home and it was 11-0. And yeah. I got to tell you, though, none of that means anything if the Nats don't come out today and kick some butt, because, you know, they need to win today. Now, I got to tell you something. 2 days ago when the Chicago Cubs beat the Nats 7-2, they had Hamill and Samardzija still in uniform. Yesterday, they were gone. That might add a little bit to do with why they looked like they quit. I'm just telling you. When they got down 7-0, they might as well have asked kids from the stands to come out and play, because they didn't even try to win. To me, they didn't even look like they cared that they were out there. But Washington and Atlanta will be there till the end. Miami is not going to make it. New York Mets, please. Phil, I mean, no offense, New York Mets, but you just have no shot. Philadelphia, see ya.
They're sellers.
Yeah, well, they're big-time sellers. Chase Utley's going to go. Marlon Byrd is going to go. How about Marlon Byrd? Didn't I tell you how good he was? He's on my team. He's one of the few guys I drafted on my score sheet team, and I took him, and guess who I told to take him? He's gotten pretty good results out of Michael Morse, but Boach took Michael Morse, and I want to say he paid Michael Morse exactly the same price as Marlon Byrd asked. Marlon Byrd asked for $8 million a year, and he got it from Philly. He signed, you know, he signed a 3-year deal in Philly. He's 38 years old.
Yeah,
he's got 17 home runs for a Philadelphia team that's not that good. So you got to take your hat off to Marlon Byrd, you know, and Weight Watchers, because at one time he weighed 300 pounds. A lot of people don't know that. But Philly is a seller. New York Mets, I think, are a seller. How can New York's going to get rid of their second baseman? But in my opinion, they should get rid of David Wright and start over. Because if they got rid of David Wright, could you imagine the guys they get in their minor league system that are position players? They would get some great players for David Wright. Not so much for their second baseman. I forget what his name is, but you know, I'll have to just get lucky and remember it soon. Central Division, my boy John Nairn, hitting coach for the Milwaukee Brewers. They're 5 games out in front of St. Louis. Who would have thought that would happen? They may have the best team in the National League right now, the Milwaukee Brewers. A lot of people think it's L.A., but L.A., you know, they got Puig and they got problems and they got Mattingly. They're going to end up choking. Now, they may end up being a wild card, but I think St. Louis is going to be a wild card. And I think the Washington Nationals or Atlanta might be a wild card. So, the wild card may not come out of the West. You got the L.A. Dodgers. God, what has Kershaw done? Like 34 innings in a row shutout? I mean, he hasn't given up a run.
Right?
He's unbelievable.
Is that allowed? Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. You sound funny. Are you underwater? There you go. See, you're much better now. What were you doing? You were doing something weird, weren't you, just now? The Los Angeles Dodgers, San Francisco. Look, Milwaukee's going to win it. St. Louis is right behind them. That is, by the way, that's the best division in the National League. Milwaukee, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati. Cincinnati is now above 500. And you know what else? Cincinnati, if you look at their stats, they're being managed like idiots. Whoever the new manager is there, they put in instead of Dusty Baker, he ain't doing the job. He's not doing the job. And Chicago, within 2 years, will be better than them anyway. Pittsburgh's hanging in there because they have some really good players and a few good pitchers. But St. Louis could easily win 20 of their next 25 games with their pitching and their hitting. The Dodgers, San Francisco, they look like they're going to right the ship. San Diego has the you know what their ERA is since June 18th? 1.68. That's unbelievable. Yeah, but they can't score 2 runs a game to win. They're 39-47. Colorado is done. Arizona. I'm going to get the GM. Did I tell you I'm getting the GM job in Arizona? I didn't tell you that, did you? Yeah, no, they called yesterday. They said, I got to go out and interview. I'm just kidding. But they should call me because I'm better than what they've got, and I'm definitely something they need out there. That would be a better retirement plan than having a radio show syndicated for 100 stations, wouldn't it? Hey,
probably.
Hey, Roy, I want you to listen at 11:30 to Tony. Now, listen, if Tony doesn't call in, because you know Tony, right? If he doesn't call in, you call back, and we're going to finish up baseball, okay?
You got to ask Tony about his new show.
I want to ask Tony about, oh, yeah, that's right. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, like me, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFAS in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good to be back. We're on the last half hour of the show, and I have on the phone one of my favorite baseball players slash coaches slash good guys in the world, Steve Klein. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing all right. Are you in Augusta, or are you guys on the road right now?
No, we are in Augusta. It's already 93 degrees and swampy hot.
Yeah, well, it's always that hot down there because that Gulf Air comes right through Augusta, Georgia. For those of you who don't know, the San Francisco Giants, minor league teams, they have an Arizona team. They may even have a Florida team, but I know they have an Arizona rookie league team. Low A is Augusta. Then it's San Jose, then Richmond, Virginia, then Fresno, AAA, and then the Giants, right, Steve?
Yes.
And
we got a team in Salem, Kaiser, Oregon.
Oh, that's right. It's probably a lot cooler in Salem, Kaiser than it is in Augusta right now, I would imagine. Now, listen, now Steve's been to the Masters with me, haven't you, Steve? We've gone into the Masters.
Yes, sir.
Very rarely are these guys in town for the Masters because they get rid of everybody. You guys are always on the road because it's so crowded. I mean, there's another 150,000, 200,000 people that are just end up in Augusta for the Masters every year. But that's also almost the start of minor league baseball season, too. So it's really, it kind of sucks that you're not there when I'm down there for 7 or 8 days every year. But Steve, you pitched with the St. Louis Cardinals and the San Francisco Giants. What other big league teams did you pitch for?
I came up with Cleveland in 97. We lost in the World Series thanks to Edgar Renteria and the Florida Marlins.
Oh, I remember that. I remember that.
And then I got traded off to the Montreal Expos. And I played for Baltimore Orioles for 1 year, too.
You would have been a Nat if you'd have stayed with the Expos, right?
Yep. Well, there were a couple of – I guess they kind of transferred teams about 4 years after I left.
Right. You just look young. Now, the greatest thing about you, besides being a great coach and just an overall good guy, you're a former wrestler like me, right?
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you something. The toughest kids – in baseball are guys that wrestle. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, you can tell. That and some football guys are pretty tough. But usually my wrestlers just have a different mentality. You know how that is. Those guys, they can get pushed to the point and still perform. Some guys get rattled in that situation. But all those wrestlers that you coach, you know, they turn out to be some good people, and they have great work habits. You know, you have to if you're going to be a wrestler.
Absolutely.
People think they're wrestlers instead of baseball players, but, you know.
Let me tell you.
Happy Gilmore there, right?
Absolutely.
Player or whatever, yeah.
Absolutely. Now, let me tell you something. We met a long time ago. I can't even remember when we met first. And we stayed friends. I think I saw you. It might have been at spring training. It might have been when we were down there and you know, we go out to dinner and do something. But, Steve, let me tell you something. You know, the San Francisco Giants, their pitching is what they're known for. And tell me if I'm crazy, but I think David Price needs to be – I think they need him. I would give him – I mean, I'm looking at their minor league, their minor league guys – they got enough guys in the minors that they could make a deal with the Tampa Bay Rays. It would do two things. Number one, it would give them another lefty, and you're a lefty. You should see my – go to CalRipkenLeague.org, click on Vienna River Dogs, and see how many lefty pitchers I have out of my 18 pitchers. I have 12 lefties. You know why? Because they get everybody out.
Yeah, they know how to pitch.
There's a lot of righties. There's a lot of righty pitchers, Steve, that are easier to hit – by righties than lefties, you know, and you know why? Because they throw that damn back foot slider and they come under your hands, and you can't square that up. It's impossible. Now you've got what's that?
Sorry.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
We usually have good movement. Lefties usually have balls that have a little tail. So righties are more or less like your power dominant, you know, like hard throwing. But somehow lefties are starting to sneak up to their power arms now.
Yeah, they are.
The world is changing.
You know what? I saw Madison Bumgarner, and I don't know. I don't think you were there at the time. You might not have even been with San Francisco. But then again, you might have been. Madison's first year that he ever pitched for San Francisco, they started him in Augusta, And I was there for his first outing, and he couldn't get anybody out. He couldn't throw the ball over the plate. They ended up sending him back to rookie league camp in Arizona, and they worked with him there. And then he came back, and I don't think he lost a game for 3 months, did he?
No, he was a specimen. He's a specimen. He's kind of one of your freakish guys. He's like the Kershaw guy from the Dodgers, you know.
He reminds me.
He hasn't lost it.
Yeah, well, Kershaw was a center, and Kershaw wrestled for 2 years in high school. He was a center too on the football team, and I think he snapped the ball to a guy that's in the NFL right now. I'm not sure who it was. Might be that guy that was in Kansas City in New England that cheated. Can't remember his name, but you know who I'm talking about.
Matt Castle, is it?
Yeah, it's Castle, Matt Castle. Yeah, the only reason he didn't do good in Kansas City is because they didn't let him cheat like they did in New England. And they had all those New England guys there.
Film. Exactly.
Hey, he didn't. Yeah, I hear you. And they don't cheat, by the way. Now their coach cheats. He'll sneak out there and trip you up if you're running for a touchdown. Was that great or what? And I got to tell you something. He got away with murder because I don't even. What did they fine him? Did they fine him $500,000?
Yeah.
Well,
that's something pretty good, and they were going to take a draft pick away, and they didn't, though.
So yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, did he think nobody was watching? You know what?
I think he just got mad. I think he just lost his cool. He knew, you could tell he used to be a special teams coach. He popped out there and tried to push the guy back in, but, you know, like I said, if I was a Raven guy, I would have ran into him.
We're talking about Mike Tomlin, for those of you that don't know who we're talking about. And let me tell you, Tomlin was a coach at William & Mary, which is, you know, that's like a brainiac place. And he's from Virginia. And I want to say Tomlin went to William & Mary. He either went to William & Mary or he went to the University of Virginia. He went somewhere in the state of Virginia to college.
I think he went to William & Mary.
And he stayed on.
He was there when Bobby Womack was the coach, or Charlie Womack was the coach over there.
That's right.
At William & Mary.
Yes, he was. Yeah. And you know what? To this day, now I don't even know if William & Mary even has a football team anymore. I think they have club football, but they used to be in the Southern Conference, and East Carolina used to play them, the University of Richmond, who also doesn't have a football team, I don't think, anymore.
And I don't think George Mason and all those guys have any, do they?
No, they do not, and neither does VCU. VCU doesn't have a football team either.
James Madison does, I think.
JMU does have a football team. And that's why they dropped the wrestling program. Let me tell you something. We could get into that again. We got 3 minutes. We got 3 minutes left. Let me ask you a question because you're a smart guy and I love you. A 6-man rotation, second half of the season, it would work, wouldn't it?
Well, that's what we do down here in the minor league, run 6-man rotation.
Well, you know what? You know what? If they get David Price on the big league team, they're not going to be able to improve. The hitting's going to fix itself. They're either going to need to get Bruce Hall to come in there and look at film and tell these guys to keep their hands above the ball and quit trying to hit everything out, which is what they do. They don't have enough patience. Now, I'll say this. This is one of the best teams they've had in the last 6 to 7 years from a standpoint of getting on base and scoring runs. As a matter of fact, their on-base percentage as a team is number 6 in the league. That's never happened in San Francisco in recent history. Wow. So they're doing a good job. But you know what their problem is? Their problem is Matt Cain. Their problem is, you know, Timmy Lincecum's, you know, being good every time out. Their problem is keeping guys healthy on their starting rotation. If you go to a 6-man rote, in my opinion, you'll give a guy an extra day of rest, right?
Yeah, and then if, extra day of rest.
And then if somebody goes down, you just go back to the 5-man, right?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that'd be simple enough.
Well, can I ask you a question? Why don't we just do this? Why don't they just do that?
Well, because you're one short in the bullpen. That's the only thing. If your starter can go 7-8 innings for you, that's good. But then you're going to take a reliever out. And you're going to be – so if someone goes down, it only pitches like 4 innings or, you know – the bullpen's got to wear it for a couple of days in a row. And, I think they already have enough trouble in the bullpen right now. I don't know. I mean, I haven't really watched a lot of the major league games. I mean, I've got to see if I know some of those guys. I know Romo's struggling a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, you know why? I mean, he's struggling because he throws his slider all the time. He hasn't worked on his fastball enough. He's got a good fastball. Hell, he got in the World Series. The last strike was a fastball. And that day, the one thing I said all day long was he's throwing a slider too much. He's throwing a slider too much. Miguel Cabrera was waiting on that slider, and he looked at a fastball right down the middle. Game over. You know,
it was a beautiful thing, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. We're talking to Steve Klein. Steve, listen, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. We're going to have you on more often. Steve, let me ask you a question. Who's gonna win the National League pennant?
Oh.
Hey, do me a favor. Pick the Giants.
There's so many good teams. The Central has some good teams.
What's wrong with St. Louis?
I don't see anybody from the East.
What's
wrong right now? I don't know. They had young pitching. I think, you know, the first year they kind of surprised everybody. Then the next year you come in there and, you know what, everybody got a little book on you now. They know what you do. And, you know, I mean, Carpenter, losing that big boy Carpenter kind of kills you.
Yeah, it did.
Just, you know. He hangs around the guys and keeps them all kind of insane. Now Wainwright's been trying to do that, and you know Adam's a great kid too. I don't know. They haven't really hit like they're supposed to. They get rid of Freeze, their most clutch player. You know, they traded him off to Anaheim. Now they're starting to hit.
Steve Klein, everybody. Steve, thanks a lot. Pitching coach for the Augusta Green Jackets, and in my opinion, one of the best baseball players anywhere. What, buddy?
Just make sure Penn State 5 feet this year, okay?
I hear you, buddy. You got it. We'll see you.
Okay.
For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back with Second Opinion in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
You know, one of the weirdest things about Facebook is that the more active you get on Facebook with friends and this and that, you know, it's amazing how many of the friends end up being prostitutes. It's like, I end up with like 8 girls that, you know, all want to be my friend, and they all look like they're out of a magazine, and I know they don't want to be my friend. They just want to hook up, you know, and I don't like that.
Do you get a lot of emails from Nigerian princes as
well? No. We get those on email. I get emails from that, yeah. Oh, yes, I have a great opportunity to get $10 million, and I can give you half of it if you can give me your bank account number.
Here's a pro tip.
Okay, here it is.
Those aren't real Nigerian princes.
No, I know that. I know that. And I'm pretty sure
And the hot-looking women on Facebook are probably not your friends.
They're probably in their 80s, and they don't look anything like that. It's just a picture of somebody. That was great having Steve Klein on. I love Kleine. Kleine is probably, if I ever became a general manager or a manager of any big league team, he'd be the first call I'd make, because he's been in the minor leagues for a while and he knows. They trust him to develop the kids that end up being on TV 3 years later, because he can put up with all of their kids that age, 19. I guarantee you most of his kids are 18, 19, 20 with Augusta, and most of them don't speak the English as their first language. It's okay, I can say that. This is Bruce Hall, and I don't speak English as my first language.
It's okay. I'm 60 and white.
You are. I'm 60 and white, exactly. And Republican. No, I'm not. I'm not saying how I'm voting. I think I'm going to vote. Well, I'm not even sure I'm going to vote. I may not even vote. Anyway, this
with
is
the McRib and the to bring back at McDonald's.
Anyway, but it's just so funny, Facebook. And listen, you can go to my Facebook page, Bruce Hall Sports, anytime. Leave me messages. Don't send pictures. I got, you know, my wife, you know, she's like, you know, Dave at State Farm. You know, I don't want to be interviewing Dave at State Farm late at night. It's Dave from State Farm.
Speaking of social networking,
yeah, exactly.
Hashtag BH Sports. Give us your World Cup picks. Who do you think the two teams in the final are going to be? What the score is? Hashtag BH Sports.
And didn't I say something about I was going to invite, if you're a football fan, whoever wins the contest, I'm bringing you in. I'll even put you up in a hotel one night. Either that or my basement. One of the two. And you'll get to go to
I better not find anybody in my basement.
Believe me, I don't think you would, Matt.
I could. It's kind of a mess.
But anyway, what I was going to say is I'll bring you into D.C. For the Giant game. Not that that'll mean anything, because the Redskins will probably end up 7-9, and the Giants are going to end up 7-9, and neither one of them are going to make the playoffs. Think Roy and I have already decided Philadelphia is going to win 10 or 11 games and probably go in the East. because I can't find anybody. I can't find 22 good ball players on the Giants, 11 on offense, 11 on defense. I just don't see it. Same way with the Redskins. The Redskins' offensive line sucks. They're not going to protect.
Their front office.
Yeah, well, their front office has sucked forever. But 2 years ago, they played pretty good. But they also had a terrible year the year before, so their schedule was easier. Schedule's not going to be so easy. I've seen it this year. Didn't we say the Redskins were going to be 7-9? We did, and that's pretty accurate. I was kind of hoping Tony would call, but I haven't seen Tony call. He's got a new show in Cleveland. Johnny Manziel has recently been seen with the likes of. I love seeing selfies of Manziel with Justin Bieber and a couple other guys that seem to be hip-hoppy guys.
What happened to football?
Whatever. What happened to Johnny Manziel?
You never saw Dan Marino taking selfies with Perry Cuomo or
but Dan Marino had his own problems. He fathered a child with his maid, so he probably didn't have a lot of time to do
that's
that.
That's acceptable manly football behavior.
Oh, yeah. Not
partying with a pop star.
Sure, knock up your damn maid. That works real well.
Hell yeah.
Well, at least he paid for at least he supported or something, you know, and as far as
didn't
I know,
do it for free.
As far as I know, his wife is still with him, and that says a lot for his wife, I guess. Maybe the money's better than worrying about it. We're gonna finish up baseball. Shoot, I knew there was something. I'm gonna give you the games. Look, we got through the East and the National League. The Mets, forget it. They're 2-8 their last 10 games. They're not going anyway. Daniel Murphy is the second baseman that's going to be gone. He's probably going to get picked up. Remember when I was saying you need a guy on your bench? That's your guy. He can actually play second or third. Milwaukee is going to win the Central. St. Louis is going to be a close second. Pittsburgh could be close. San Francisco and the Dodgers are going to be the two in the West that compete for the title in the West that are going to make the playoffs. And that's that. Now let me just I'm gonna cut to the chase here. This is good stuff. Kansas City, Cleveland, forget it. Baltimore, Boston, Gausman is better than Jake Peavy right now. Peavy this year is 1-7. This is Jake Peavy. Do you know how much money he's making? Like $18 million a year. Jake used to pitch for Bruce Bochy. You know, in San Diego, he was one of my son's favorite players. As a matter of fact, Davis was number 44 for 3 or 4 years. I'm not going to touch that game because it's in Boston, and Boston looked like they were celebrating a win last night, which doesn't happen often anymore there. The White Sox are playing Seattle. I'm passing on that. The Yankees, Carota, please, are in Minnesota. That's Ricky Nolasco. Take the over because neither one of those pitchers is any good. Here's a winner. The Angels will beat Houston for sure. They're like a 2-1 favorite. Take them. Garrett Richards, one of the great stories of this year. Right-handed pitcher with some great stuff. They're going to win easily. Texas is at Oakland. Guess who's pitching for Oakland? The guy that just got traded there, Jeff Smarja. He's going to make sure that his first game in the American League is a win. He's -160. Take it. That's 160 to win 100. Tampa Bay is at Detroit. Ricky Porcello has thrown 3 shutouts in a row. Take Detroit. They're on fire, and guess who he's pitching against? David Price, the guy that won't be in Tampa another week. Take him. Then you go to the National League. Gallardo is at Latos. Pass. Miley is at Wood in Atlanta. Take Atlanta. They're gonna continue to win. They've won 9 in a row. That is a winning streak. That's from Major League. The Chicago Cubs.
Sorry, I don't catch those.
I know you're not a baseball guy. Jake Arrieta is at Jordan Zimmermann. That's a tough one because Jake, you know, they just won. When you win 13-0, generally the next day you don't score 13 again. I'm going to pass on that game because Jordan Zimmerman's almost a 2-1 favorite, and Arrieta has thrown phenomenally for the Cubs. Philadelphia, you got Burnett at lock. Pass. Miami. You got Alvarez and Gonzalez. Pass. You got the L.A. Dodgers, Beckett at Colorado. Pass. You got San Francisco, Timmy Lincecum, who has thrown a no-hitter and an 8-inning shutout 2 games in a row. is at San Diego. A great rookie named Han, 4-1 this year, 1.95 ERA. I'm passing on that game. I don't want to jinx. I don't want to jinx Timmy. And you got probably the worst home pitcher in the National League, Zach Wheeler, former San Francisco minor league pitcher before he got traded to the Mets with the Carlos Beltran trade a few years back. I would love to say take the Mets, but I'm passing on that game. I just don't see it. I don't think there's any way that can happen. All right. Now we're going to talk a little bit about statistics. And I'm looking at the stats for hitting, and I'm looking at the stats for pitching in all of baseball. And I'm here to tell you right now, the Oakland A's are so far ahead of everybody in pitching and in what I call on-base percentage, which is the most important thing you can have. They are going to win the American League East unless everybody blows up in Oakland. Hopefully that won't happen. The New York Mets, believe it or not, and this might be a little Sandy Alderson stuff, they have a .346 team on-base percentage. Well, here's my question. Why are they so bad, you ask? Because their ERA is only 3.57. There can only be one reason for that: management. That's not Sandy. That's the manager. If that manager has those numbers, there's no reason for them to be 10, 15 games under 500. Fire the manager. Fire him. Hire somebody that knows the game, that's fresh blood, new blood. David Wright's back. Everybody's back. Okay? Everybody's back. We'll see you next week, everybody. Drive safely. This is Bruce Hall signing off.